To you, happy Mother's Day. Can we give all of our moms a huge round of applause? Awesome. And also, I just want to say there's mainly four categories of moms that we want to celebrate today, and today's a day of honor. The first category is what we call legacy mothers, moms who are no longer with us, moms who have passed away and who are in heaven but are still deserving of honor today. So can we give all of our legacy mothers a huge round of applause? Also, grandmothers. Can we give our grandmothers a huge round of applause? And the other category is current moms with children in the home. Let's give them a big round of applause. And then also the last group, and who we will also be praying over at the end of the service, all future moms that are believing for a baby in this season. Can we give them a huge round of applause? I want to specifically say happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you.
We have four kids, 19, 17, 13, and 9.
Good job.
Don't ask me their birth dates. Okay, so, but our 17-year-old son, Aiden, is graduating this week. And so we'll have two kids graduated back-to-back years.
Yes.
And a lot going on right now, but truly, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Phenomenal, phenomenal mom. And I also want to say happy Mother's Day to my own mom. Mom, stand up real quick. An amazing mom. I'll talk about her in a few minutes. All good stuff. All good stuff. It's Mother's Day, you know? But truly, I've been so blessed in my life, both of my brothers and I, to have a mom like you. You look beautiful today, so happy Mother's Day to my mom.
Yes, you know, I think that we all relate to our moms in different ways throughout our life. I read this thing this week. It says, at the age 4, we say, my mom, she knows everything and can do anything. At age 12, well, my mom doesn't know everything. At age 14, my mom doesn't know anything. Age 18, mom is out of step with the times. Age 25, well, mom knows a few things. At age 35, before we decide to do that, let's get mom's opinion. Age 45, I wonder what my mom would say about this. And then at age 65, I wish I could talk with my mother. That kind of got me. But no matter what age you are and what stage of life you're in, it is always a good time and the right thing to do to honor your mother. So we give honor to mothers because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, every year we make a big deal of Mother's Day and Father's Day next month for a few reasons, but the main one is because the Bible clearly, from the beginning to the end, tells us to honor our mothers and our fathers. Honor is something that really is not dictated on how good of parents they are. That's more on the respect side of things. But the Bible tells us to honor the office of parent. Honor our mothers and honor our fathers. That's why we make such a big deal out of it. And mothers are just, they're moms. And we just gotta honor our moms. Can I get an amen for that? Ephesians 6, 2-3 says this: honor, esteem, value as precious your father and your mother, and be respectful to them. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may have a long life on the earth. When I wasn't honoring my mom when I was a teenager, she made it very clear to me that I was not going to receive that promise of a long life on this earth. But it is astonishing that there is that kind of a promise that comes along with honor your mother and your father.
And it must be pretty important because it's part of the top 10. It's in the 10 commandments.
Yes.
Honor your father and your mother. So we're going to go through 4 points today, and it's going to be, we honor mothers, and mothers are deserving of honor because, first of all, motherhood requires sacrifice. How many know that if you're a mom, you have sacrificed some things? From the moment you received the news that you were expecting, you began the sacrifice of your body, of your energy level. Some of you, maybe what you ate for breakfast that morning. Like, you began the sacrifice from the moment that you find out that you're expecting. And then with an infant, you don't sleep. Everything is just turned upside down. And this doesn't stop at infancy, but all the way through your children's lives, you are living a life of sacrifice, really. And I came across this list. It's like a top 10 things that parents sacrifice secretly. And this has really hit home. The first one would be, number one, sleep.
Kids, pay attention to this. If you're a teenager, child in the room, pay attention to this list.
Honestly, you will sacrifice your sleep. I thought that this is something that would end when they were little babies and we would get out of that stage. I feel like I lose less sleep now as a mom of teenagers and young adults than I ever have. So I'm sorry if you're thinking it's almost over. It's not, but you sacrifice sleep. Next, peace of mind. This goes along with the same thing. You will always have something on your mind, a problem to solve, a worry to be handled. This is something that parents sacrifice. A reliable schedule. I mean, you can try to plan your day. Good luck with that, because there will be some kind of schedule change when you have kids because they're kids, and that's just the nature of it. Something else that you will sacrifice is the ability to be spontaneous. Like, there's no more like, hey, want to run and get dinner? Sure, let's just get in the car and go. No, it's like, do you have your shoes? Have you brushed your teeth? Like, anybody know what I'm talking about?
And then the argument in the car about where you're going to go to dinner.
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst. So never ask your kids what they want for dinner.
No.
Ever.
No.
It is never, ever a discussion. You just tell them, we're going here, because you cannot be spontaneous when you have kids. That's just the way it is, right? Next would be privacy. You sacrifice your privacy, I'm telling you. No more going to the restroom without a hand coming underneath the door. Mom, it's just the way it is. Your time, you sacrifice your time. You sacrifice friends. I remember one time Avery was in middle school and she was having a little sassy, smart aleck moment, and I was challenging her on her friendships, and then she says, well, do you even have friends? And I was like, no, because of you. You're the reason, right? Because all of our time is completely taken up with our kids. So long to friendships. Just kidding, you shouldn't do that. But it's kind of the reality, right? You sacrifice that time. Your own wants, your career aspirations sometimes get put on hold. And then your comfort zone. Sometimes being a mother requires you to step out of your comfort zone and handle some business. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe someone's being mean to your child and you're a little bit more timid. You will come out of that in a second, because a parenthood and motherhood will cause you to come out of your comfort zone and sacrifice your comfort zone. I heard a story the other day about Mother Teresa, and I love this. She was this famous, amazing woman who met so many needs in the world and just an incredible example of a sacrificial life. But the story goes that she was at this compound, and there was a person interviewing her, a reporter, following her around as she was doing all of these unimaginable things. She was cleaning up vomit on the floor and bandaging wounds and all of these things. And he said to her, I would not do this for $1 million. And she turned around and said to him, neither would I, because it wasn't money that was drawing her to solve these problems and to be who she was called to be. But this was love, and the fact that she considered it the calling of her life. Many things that I do as a mom, you couldn't get me to do that for $1 million, but I don't do it for money. I do it because it has eternal impact, and I'm investing into my children. And the sacrifice of motherhood is about giving up the material for the meaningful. The material things, all the mundane, everyday things, that don't matter anymore when you become a mom, because you know what really matters. You're sowing into your child's life. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, sometimes we reserve talking about her for Christmas only. And even when we're reading through some of these scriptures, I'm like, this feels like a Christmas message. This is not just a Christmas story. This is amazing woman. One theologian mentioned her as, next to Jesus, the greatest leader who ever walked the face of the earth. And I don't know what his, I don't know why he said that, but I think that we can look at scripture and see that she had great influence on the world that we live in today. And what an example of living this sacrificial life.
Yeah.
Just think about the moment when the angel came to her and said, Mary, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. Imagine the implications of her yes. This was a big deal. I'm sure she had to think, well, what does this mean for my engagement? I guess my engagement will be broken off. She had to be thinking about her parents and how they would be so disappointed in her and how she would have to navigate that. And I mean, the burden of that, I don't want to disappoint my parents and they're going to disown me. And then beyond that, Mary in those times to be pregnant outside of marriage, you know, you would be put to death. This was a big deal for her to say yes. Beyond those big things, she was also just saying yes to a lifetime of sacrifice and service, just being a mother to a child.
Yeah.
Yet her response was so beautiful. It was yes. Her response was, I will do whatever you ask me to do. In Luke 1:38, she says this, I belong to the Lord, body and soul. Replied Mary, let it happen as you say. And at this, the angel left her. So she said yes to a lifetime of sacrifice and service because she received it as her calling. I want to encourage you mothers today that keep sacrificing, keep giving, because this is not something that doesn't have eternal reward. Your sacrifice will yield eternal reward. And God sees your secret sacrifice. And it's not for nothing. It's good English, right? This is not for nothing. I'm telling you, when you sacrifice, you are investing in the next generation of leaders and building men and women of God. And that is a high, high calling. So keep on sacrificing because of your sacrifice. We want to honor you today.
Yes. Give moms a big hand. Number two, motherhood requires consistency. Motherhood requires consistency. A great mother is a mom, a woman who really understands that time is precious and time flies. How many moms in here can look at your kids now and say, time flies? Last night we were eating dinner and there was a little kid that looked like our son, our 17-year-old son, Aiden, when he was about 6 or 7 and he was going up to the counter to order something. And Mandy said, in my head, Aiden is still that age. And she said, where did it go? And a great mom realizes that time is precious, and that we are only, like I mentioned earlier with the child dedications, we are only stewards from God, commissioned by God for the time we have with our kids to do the best we possibly can to create consistency in our home that leads in the direction of our children finding God for themselves, in the direction of our children growing roots into the house of God in church. And again, Mary was a phenomenal example of consistency in the life of Jesus. And I know we think, well, it was Jesus, right? But the beauty of Jesus is he was fully God, but also fully man. Can you imagine how complex that would be for Mary? Like, am I talking to God or my little boy today? You know, kind of thing, right? Like, but she is in charge of sharpening him, creating consistency in him to become who he was called to be. And so what's interesting is consistency started early with Mary. Within 2 weeks, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. And in Luke 2:22, it says this, and when the time came for their purification, that is, the mother's purification and the baby's dedication, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Within 8 days of Jesus being born, where does Mary have Jesus? Church. Man, my challenge is, even if we're a little bit behind on this, I think the very first thing we've got to do is to make church a priority and consistency in our kids' lives. And Mary was the epitome of consistency all the way through Jesus's life. Whether it was going weekly to the synagogue, praying for Jesus, prioritizing God everywhere they went. What Mandy was talking about was sacrifice. That was visible to Jesus. And she was creating consistency everywhere they went. When I think about my mom growing up, I there's one word. I can say a bunch of different words that fall under this one word to describe my mom, and it's consistent. My mom is a consistent person, and she taught us consistency in our lives. There was never, I've said this before, but growing up, there was never one question in my mind on Saturday night about what we would be doing the next morning. I can never remember one time in my life I thought, I need to ask my mom if we're going to church. Because if I did, she would look at me like I had lost my mind. Because from the very first breath that we had, it was understood that we would be at church. We were dedicated in the church, raised in church, and my mom brought consistency in the ways of God, the things of God, but not only in the house of God, but outside of the house of God. There were high standards for grades, consistency in school. If we started a sport, we had to finish it. It didn't matter if we liked the coach, if we said the coach doesn't like us, if we were third string, first string. If we started something, we were finishing that something because it's important to create consistency in the home. I was with my nine-year-old daughter. She was writing in Mandy's card that she'll get in a little bit. So, sorry, spoiler alert. Okay, so she was writing in Mandy's card, and everything she was writing, she didn't use the word consistent because she's nine. I guess she could use that word. But what she was saying was all of these things, it was pointing to Mandy's consistency in her life. And it's because it's what our kids need most, and it's what points them in the direction of God. I wrote this down. The fruit of a consistent mother is a consistent adult child. The fruit of a consistent mother is a consistent adult child. Now, we know ultimately when our kids grow, they make their own decisions. Mm-hmm. But our job is to plant seeds of godliness and consistency in their lives and believe that fruit comes to pass. And in Jesus' life, it did. In Luke 4:16, it says this, Jesus is in adulthood, and it says he came to Nazareth where he had been raised. And as he always did on the Sabbath, he went to the meeting place, the synagogue. What this is essentially saying is, because this was the way Jesus had been raised, he always on the Sabbath, on the seventh day, went to church. So why would it be any different in adulthood? It was because of the consistency that his parents, Mary, because we don't know when Joseph passed away. At some point, he's out of the picture, and Mary was a single mother. Mary was in charge of carrying on the consistency in Jesus's life, not only in action, but also in prayer. Now, I'll say this. If you're a Christian mom in here, I guarantee you, you are a praying mom. I guarantee it. Whether it's an articulate prayer where you feel like every word is correct, or if your prayer sometime is, God, why did you give me this kid? Kind of thing, right? You're a praying mom. In moments of desperation, moms feel, they are discerning. They know when something's off. And sometimes our prayers are general, and that's fine. But I also know many of us in our prayer lives, wherever you're at on growth, and that sometimes we want to our general prayers to become specific. And so I have five things I just want to read really quickly. How can we make general prayers as a parent or a mother become specific in our lives? These are five daily prayer points for our kids. Number one is this. I think these can really help, and you can take a photo of them at the end if you want to. God, I ask that my child may know and experience your love beyond a shadow of a doubt. The reason why I worded it your love is because without a child getting to the place of understanding the love that God has for them, and in light of that love, Jesus going to the cross, they're not going to experience the mercy, the grace, the overwhelming sensation of knowing I have a God who loves me no matter what. The second thing we pray is, God, I ask you to protect and surround my child today. When I pray this prayer point, I like to imagine my kids walking through the halls of their school, walking wherever they go, the conversations they might find themselves in as they're driving down the road. And I will walk out those scenarios in my mind, and I will pray and say, God, put a hedge of protection around them as they're walking through the hall. Protect them from conversations and potential friendships that might guide them in the wrong direction. God, protect them, protect their mind from fear. Mm-hmm. Protect them in conversations where Satan might use someone who's vulnerable to get to them. Protect them as they drive. We put a hedge of protection around our children. Number three, God, I ask you to guide their steps according to your will and your ways. This is a prayer that goes along with consistency, right? This is like the part two, along with the consistency that we are practically playing out in their lives with church is a priority, talking about the things of God, then all of a sudden we're praying this prayer, guide their steps according to your will and your ways. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is, and we're speaking into his existence with prophetic prayer is, my child is going to walk with God. God, walk with my child even when their steps stumble. I pray that they're gonna fall in love with your will and fall in love with your ways. God, guide their steps. Number four, God, I ask that your plan for their life would involve using them in a powerful way. Sometimes when our kids are struggling, when we think about God using them in the powerful way, we look at our kids like they might be disqualified in this moment mm-hmm. to pray that prayer. We believe in them, But we might think that God might roll his eyes and say, yeah, let's give that a couple more years. But God doesn't work like that. God sees the potential all along that he's trying to get you to see right now. So when we pray this prayer, we're not saying, God, just use my child. We're saying, God, use my child in a way where their potential is met in a maximum way. I don't want you to use my child in a small way. I believe, God, that this is a kingdom-shaking, world-shaking, and world-changing child that you want to use in a huge way, and I am declaring it and praying it over their life. Number five, God, I ask you to strengthen and equip me to be the best parent or mom that I can be. Strengthen me, show me what I need to do, equip me, and give me the confidence. So today, we honor mothers because of number two, because of their consistency.
Yes. Next, motherhood requires insight. I mean, what is it about moms? They just know things. They know things. They have this insight into their children's lives. And what's interesting is that moms, you probably know your kid better than anyone. You have been there through every stage, through every age. You were there from the beginning. You probably know more about your kid than they know about themselves, right? Mothers are historians of our lives. They know the very beginning, and they know every detail, seems like. I know my kids always ask these questions, like, and they can turn anything into a fight, but Mom, where was I born? What hospital was I born in? Mom, who was your best baby? That's the one. Aiden, was I the best baby? Who slept the best? Here's the best one. He always says, who was a surprise and who did you plan on? He always asks me that. I'm like, girls were planned, boys were surprises. But he always wants to know, and I don't know if your kids are that way, but they want to know that kind of stuff. I remember asking my mom tons of questions about my birth and where was I born and what was that day like? And it's so cool that mothers, you have this gift of being in your child's life from the very beginning. And this gift, what it does is it allows you to see these life themes all throughout their lives, these themes that are woven all throughout. I don't know what it looks like for you, but it could be that you see this theme of maybe your child is just, you know, very courageous, and they're always willing to stand up no matter what's going on around them. Or maybe they've dealt with anxiety or fear, and it's something that you've had to pray for them their entire lives. Maybe they're deeply compassionate or extremely talented, or you know every struggle, every weakness, because you've had a front row seat to your life, your child's life. So this insight, this physical insight, is such a gift. But beyond just a physical insight that you have, this natural, you know, motherly insight that you have got to have a spiritual insight as well. You have got to see beyond and beneath the surface of what everyone else sees and be able to see, what has God placed in my kid? What does he have for them? Mm-hmm. The spiritual eyes, the spiritual insight. Going back to the life of Mary. Mary is such an example of this. And there's a story in particular. It's the first miracle that Jesus performs at the wedding at Cana. And it's such a cool story. I don't know if you've ever heard it before, probably, but they're at this wedding celebration. And in this Jewish culture, they would celebrate and party for days. And they have this horrible, horrible problem to them. It seems funny because it's not like life or death, but they run out of wine. And they're freaking out. We've ran out of wine, but this whole wedding party situation is not over. And so Mary comes to Jesus, and she tells him the problem. Jesus, we're out of wine. This is a big deal to this family. You've got to do something. And he tells her, no, my time is not yet. It's not time for me to step into my ministry. The time is not yet. And then she speaks into his life and says, actually, I believe. I have the insight. I've been watching. I believe you're ready. And so what she tells them in John 2, verse 5, it says, but his mother told the servants, just do whatever he tells you to do. And isn't it interesting that Mary actually sets in motion The 3.5 years of ministry that Jesus has before his crucifixion and resurrection. Isn't that wild to think about? That Mary had this insight and that Jesus would lean on the wisdom of his mother that much and that her voice would carry that much weight in his life when she says, nope, the time is now. It's time. Go ahead, do the miracle. Let's get this thing set in motion. Knowing what would be at the end of it, knowing where all this journey would go, but he relied on his mother's insight. Moms, you have great insight into your child's life, and you don't need to underestimate the value of your voice in their life because you never know what you could set in motion in their life just by speaking into them and telling them, I see this in you. I see this in you. You can do this. I believe God has called you for right now. Now is the time. You have an amazing, amazing ability to see beyond the physical and into the spiritual. So use that insight and just understand that it's a really, really powerful thing.
So good. And we also today, mothers are deserving of honor because motherhood requires hope. Motherhood requires hope. It seems to me, and with every mom I've ever met, the mother, for the most part, is the anchor of hope. You know, when everything kind of looks dark and gloomy, it's the mom who'll say, it's going to work out in the end. Moms have this hope wired in them, and I think it's a God thing, and Mary also demonstrates hope in the most challenging of situations we could possibly understand. Mm-hmm. When you think, in light of what Mandy just said with the wedding at Cana, when Mary spoke that to Jesus and then to the servants, and the ministry of Jesus was set in motion, knowing what was to come, she still called that calling out of Jesus, but she also knew that because of that, not only would he go through pain, but she would go through the worst possible pain a mom could ever go through. Can you imagine the pain that Mary went through when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane? Can you imagine the pain of watching Jesus as he was whipped and beaten, carrying the cross to Golgotha, watching him be crucified on the cross? And what we know through this story, and I've preached on it, is most of the disciples, they ran. They were hiding. But there was one person, no matter what was going to happen, there was one person in the story that we could just count on. This person was not going to leave Jesus no matter what. And that's his mom. In Jesus' worst, darkest moment where everything seemed over, who was there? His mom, Mary. Mm-hmm. And not only was she there at the lowest, darkest moment, she was also the one hoping and believing for the greatest moment in the resurrection. Mary is a model for moms to understand that it's a privilege to walk through those pain seasons, the valley seasons with our kids, because we can also, in those crucifixion moments, hope and know that through the plan of God, a resurrection moment is on the horizon. And what we know today is there are so many stories on Mother's Day. For some of you, Mother's Day is the happiest day of the year. For others of you, Mother's Day is the opposite. There are people in the room, moms, who have children today that aren't doing well. They could be young or older. They could be adults out of the home, but they don't know Christ. I know for a fact there are moms in the room that every single day your prayer to God is somehow bring my child back to know you. There is no pain like the pain of a lost child. And we know that. But what I love about what Mary models with hope is this. What she tells us in this story is because God is alive, because God is real, and because Jesus came out of that tomb, there is no story that is being written that is over until it's over. And let me just tell you, the story of your child's life is being written. I love this, and we'll end with reading this passage. We find out in the book of Acts that Luke, the one who wrote the book of Luke, comes back from a missions trip back to Jerusalem, and he decides while he's on this stay that he's a medical doctor, and he wants to create a detailed account of the life and ministry of Jesus, which became the book of Luke. So we find out through several sources, through different scriptures, putting them together. And when I found this out, it was one of the coolest things ever. That one of the people Luke interviewed in writing the book of Luke was Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we see a glimpse of this right tucked into the middle of the Christmas story. We see a glimpse of Luke observing Mary. Now, if you want to go to the source and get the best, realest story you can get, you're going to go to Mary because she was there the entire time. But I want to read you just a little piece of this story. Luke 2, 16 through 20 says, "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them." Verse 19, all theologians agree, does not fit the flow of the story because it's not a part of the story. So theologians believe that verse 19 is not Luke detailing the story that Mary is telling him, but he takes a break from detailing the story, and for one verse, he details what she looks like while she's telling him the story. And in verse 19, it says, "But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart." And then it jumps back to the story. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I love Luke 2:19. In the Common English Bible, it says, "Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully." Mm-hmm. You know what Mary was doing? She's older in age, well after Pentecost, after the resurrection and ascension, and when the Holy Spirit came, she's older in age, and she is committing to memory and recounting the beginning of the story. She had the luxury of hindsight. She could have a smile on her face then, knowing that God wins in the end. And I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, if you're a mom today or a father and you have a lost child, their story is still being written. And we believe there will be a day where you can look back in hindsight and consider carefully the miracle that God did in your child's life. Amen. That's what we believe today. We want to conclude with praying over three categories today with Mother's Day, and a couple of these have become a tradition. But in light of what I was just saying, I want to completely pray for all moms who have a child that is away from God right now, and there's no better time than now in the middle of our church family to pray for you, because so many people have had that exact story with their children in their lives. We also want to pray for all mothers. And we also want to pray for mothers, women who are married, who are trying to get pregnant, and it's been difficult. Maybe doctors have told you there might be something medically wrong. Whatever the situation is, there have been miracles upon miracles when we've prayed for this over women in our church. And we believe that God wants children born to godly mothers and godly fathers and godly households. Do you guys believe that today? Mm-hmm. So here's what we want to do. We want to conclude with this prayer. We want to pray for all moms. And I'm going to pray for all moms, and then also all moms today that are really struggling and believing for their child that's away from God to come back. So let's start with this. If you are a mother at all, you're a mom in the room, would you just go ahead and stand, and let's honor all of our mothers as they stand today. Amazing. I'm not just saying this, these are heroes standing up right now. It's so cool. Also, if you're in the room and you're a married woman, and you are in a season or been told or whatever the situation is, actually, that's in a second. If you are in here today, you're a mom that's standing, and you're saying, I have a child today. It's a happy day, but it's also a hard day because I have a child that is away from God, and you want to believe with your church family right now for a miracle that somehow, wherever they are, that the Holy Spirit would grab a hold of their heart, that there would be a conversation that could take place. Something would break so their heart would soften to the ways of God. If you're here, I know it's bold. We've been there. Many of you have been there before. But if that's you and you want to say, I want to pray today, would you just raise your hand right where you're at? Amazing. Look how many hands are up. We are going to pray for you and stand in the gap for you and believe that there's going to be a miracle that God is going to do, because their story is being written and it is not over yet. Do you believe that? Amen. Today?
Amen.
And then, yes. And then Mandy will conclude with praying over moms today that are, or women that are not able to get pregnant, and we're gonna believe for miracles. And if that's you today, and you're in the room, and you're saying, I've been told that we cannot get pregnant, there's been something wrong, and we are actively trying right now, if that's you in the room and you need a miracle, why don't you go ahead and stand and just kind of wave at me so we know who we're praying for today. If you could be so bold, if there's any ladies in the room that are saying, we're trying right now, thank you, I see you up there, thank you. Anybody else, I just wanna know. Anybody else? Thank you. Right over there. Thank you. Thank you. If you are near someone who raised their hand, just stretch out your hand toward them. And we're going to pray for all three of these categories today. Let's join in prayer. Father, we thank you so much today for all moms.
Yes,
this is a day of honor for heroes that are standing in this room. God, we pray for blessing upon blessing, a double portion of honor and blessing upon every woman standing here today. God, we thank you for them. We pray for rejuvenation today. We pray for strength today. We pray for a renewed peace and calling today. God, we just pray for everything that they've been praying for, the secrets of their hearts, God. We just pray blessing upon blessing for all moms in this room today. God, we also pray for every single child that's away from you right now. These mothers that have prayed every single morning for these children. These moms that have gone through anguish for their children. Holy Spirit, we pray today that there would be chance encounters today with these children, wherever they're at and whatever they're doing, that there would be a conversation with a coworker, that there would be something that would happen when they're alone, that there would be an overwhelming sense of your spirit on them, God, that something would happen to where they would know right now in this moment, there are people praying for them. God, I pray that we will have stories of prodigals coming home because of prayers like this, prayers of mothers, prayers of churches where we come together, band together as a family, believing and standing in the gap that these children will come back to you, Father. We believe it.
Yes, Lord. And God, we just come right now before you and we ask you, Lord, to do a miracle in the lives of women who are wanting to have a child. God, you see their longings. You see the cry of their heart, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you would right now do the impossible in their lives. We pray for miracles to take place, Lord, and we come together as their family, standing in faith, believing you, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, for this season of waiting, God, that it wouldn't just be a season of waiting, but Lord, that you would give them just a fruitful season, a joy in this season, God, and that you would not let there be any wasted time. But it would be a time, Lord, that it's given to you. Lord, I pray that you would just do a miracle right now. We believe, we stand in faith with our sisters. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.